Is Ebenezer Scrooge redeemable? Is he somebody that we want him to receive his comeuppance? Is it somebody we'd like to see him get what he deserves? Is it somebody who is totally beyond redemption? Scrooge is not only hated by his rich friends, his nephew that comes around his house and asks him to go to dinner with them for Christmas. Not only is he hated by him, he's also hated by the poor. He's the butt of all jokes, even in the Cratchit home, as Tiny Tim told us. And yet, this Scrooge, this person we have come to dislike, the question on everybody's mind is he redeemable? Maybe you know a person yourself who looks like, sounds like, acts like Ebenezer Scrooge. And you think each year, is this person irredeemable? In our scriptures, we find a man who is also hated as equally, if not more, as Ebenezer Scrooge. The tax man, the man who collects the taxes. And we're going to look at that in our scriptures, and Tiny Tim already read it to you. But if we're going to go to Luke chapter 19 to look at this particular person whom was hated. If you've got your Bibles with you, go there. We're going to read the story together. You might see something different this time. Luke chapter 19 in your Bibles. If you're on your phone, go there instead of looking at Snapchat. Just kidding. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the tax collector in the region. And he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Now, before we jump into that, we need to know who Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. That means that he was in charge of farming out the taxes. So he was the chief farm taxer. So he would get everybody else to charge higher rates so that he would get more money. And he was employed by the Romans. Now, Romans hated Jews. They couldn't understand the Jews. They didn't understand their practices. And they were weird kind of people to the Romans. But they employed this guy to collect the taxes. So he was hated by Rome already, Zacchaeus. And also, because he was a Jew, he was taking money off his own people. So he was hated by the Jews too. So this man, Zacchaeus, was equally hated. Not only was he small in stature, he was also small in the community, small in the religious community, because nobody liked him. Nobody liked who he was for, and he was kind of like a Scrooge figure. Everybody hated him. He was never invited into any community event. He wasn't even allowed to see Jesus as he's walking by on the road to Jericho, and he definitely wasn't welcome at anybody's house for tea. Zacchaeus and Scrooge are kind of like the same people. What happens with Zacchaeus? When Jesus came by, in verse 5, when Jesus came by, of course, he looked up into the tree and called him by name. He said, "Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be your guest today in your home." Jesus recognizes Zacchaeus. And he looks at him and says, "I see you. I see you more than the hated man that you've become known for. I see you more than the person that everybody calls you. I see you and the potential you have in my kingdom. You are a person that I need to come to your home. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus is like, "My home? My home? You want to come to my house? Nobody comes to my house." And so he listens to Jesus, and he comes down from the tree. The ghost of Christmas future is kind of quiet. All the other ghosts have been kind of noisy and screaming at Scrooge and telling him what to do. The ghost of Christmas future just points and says, this is what's happening. He says, you know, are these events changeable? Can we possibly not have Zacchaeus be the hated man all his life? Can we possibly change Tiny Tim's future? Well, can we have a change in Scrooge? Or is this definitely the man who's responsible for everything that's gone on as he wipes his name off the tomb? Is it possible to change the future? The crowd run after Zacchaeus. The crowd run after Zacchaeus and Jesus. Jesus invites him down. They're like, what the heck's going on? What are you doing? I mean, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? It's like an angry mob of soccer fans running after him saying, it's not a red card, red card. Argentina are winning 2-0, by the way. You guys didn't get that. Yeah. The crowd are totally amazed. The crowd are totally amazed that this guy is possibly going to go to his house. That Jesus is going to go to Zacchaeus' house, the irredeemable one, the one who takes away all their money, the one who makes them poorer than they should be. And the question is, can this guy, Zacchaeus, be redeemed? Can he change his future? Can Scrooge change his future? Or is everything just set out before us, and all we do is twiddle our thumbs and wait for things to happen? Does God have a major redemptive plan for a certain amount of people and not so much for another group of people? Or are we a part of the redemptive plan of God? Can we offer redemption through our relationship with Jesus Christ? Can we be a part of God's almighty plan that Zacchaeus and Scrooge could possibly be redeemed? Somebody say amen. Yes, we can be a part of the redemptive plan for Zacchaeus and for Scrooge. We participate, we take part in being a part of the kingdom of God. You are that redemptive factor in somebody's life. It's kind of hard for Zacchaeus and it's kind of hard for people like Scrooge, but you are those people. So he says to Zacchaeus, come down. Come down because I'm going to your house to tea. I'm coming to your house for dinner. I'm going to hang out in your house. Verse 6. Zacchaeus quickly climbs down and takes Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people are displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, and they grumbled. That word there for quickly climbed is zeteo, which means with great excitement, with absolute joy, with Christmas joy, with absolute intention. Oh, I've got to get down this tree. I can't believe royalty is asking me to come down the tree and come to my home. My house? Of course, everybody grumbles. They've gone to be with that notorious sinner. They've gone to be with that miser, the guy that takes all our money. They've gone to be with the person who everybody hates. Why Jesus? Why Scrooge? Notice when Scrooge is aware of what's happening. In some tales, Scrooge is like falling down into his tomb. In other renditions of the tale, he's caught up in the curtains, and he finally stops and hits the ground, and he wakes up. He's like, "Wow, I've got a new chance. I've got an opportunity to be a part of the redemptive plan that I have experienced." So he goes with great excitement and joy. The people are displeased. What happens next? We hate this guy. He's irredeemable. We want to see his comeuppance. We want to see him get what he deserves. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor. And if I've cheated on people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Zacchaeus, in the presence of the king, in the presence of royalty, in the presence of the Messiah, does something with his life. Now, if I was Jesus at this particular moment, if I got Zacchaeus in front of me, I'd have said to him, "You sniveling little snot rag, cough up with all your money. Stop robbing money from people. Yeah, save yourself. Do something with yourself. What's going on with you? Stop stealing people's money. Repent." Which never probably works, by the way, if that's your like evangelism way to do to people. Never really works. He's just standing there in the presence of the king. Standing there, and immediately he knows what he should do. In fact, just his presence in front of Jesus has a deliberate impact on his finances. He says, "I'm going to do something. I can be a part of this redemptive plan. I'm going to give back half what I owe. I'm going to start this redemptive. I've been given a new shot. I am going to give back. I'm going to be a part of the redemptive plan that you have given me, Jesus." Of course, our friend Ebenezer does the same thing. Immediately, as he hits the floor in his own room, as the three spirits have visited in the night, he realizes it's Christmas Day. It's the day that he's like hated for years, and now it's Christmas Day and he has an opportunity. Immediately he runs down the street, sees the carolers, gives them money, and even sings with them and sings "Joy to the World" with them. He stops by the guys who are always hassling him to give to the poor. He gives them a great big bag of money, and then he goes to the Cratchit house. I like the Mickey's Christmas Carol version where he's got the Santa sack on his back, and a little teddy falls out. He goes to the Cratchit house and says, "I can now help. I can now see where I can help and help the future of this child." Of course, with this whole tale, we're all concerned about what's going to happen in the future. What's going to happen when we leave here today? What's going to happen this Christmas on Saturday and Sunday? Is Christmas going to be any better than it was the year before? What's our future going to be like? Maybe you've had an opportunity to be around people who have been diagnosed with a terminal illness. Maybe someone said to you, "Oh, your friend, your relative, your sister, your brother, your uncle has only this long to live." How many of you have experienced that? Raise your hand if you've heard of that, seen that. You've only got this amount of time to live. A friend of mine in my previous church, Greg, everybody loved this guy. Everybody liked to be around him, and he was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And even though he'd only been given so much time to live, he lived with so much energy and wanted to impact other people that were around him. He believed that even in the short time left he had on this earth, he was there to pour into other people, pour into Tiny Tim's, pour into people who could benefit from what he had learned over his life. Long-term friend of mine back in England, Laurie Brokenshire, was diagnosed with glioblastoma. And this guy had an amazing mind. When you were around him, you actually felt better about yourself when you were around him. You ever be around those people? I like who I am when I'm around this guy. And even when he was diagnosed, he poured into people. He believed that no matter how much time he had left on the earth, he could impact people for greater. No matter the future news, no matter what he had been given, he knew he could impact somebody else's future. And Scrooge now knew this. No matter what the diagnosis was for Tiny Tim, no matter what was going on, what he'd done before in his life, no matter what his past was, no matter what his present was, he believed now that he could do something in the future. He believed that Christmas future could be better. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give back four times as much. Jesus responded, when Zacchaeus said he was going to do this, Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. The crowd are outside like, what? He's the son of Abraham? He's like us? He's a Jew? He's somebody who gets a salvation? No way. We hate this guy. This guy is now part of the kingdom of heaven. He's part of the kingdom of God. He's a son of Abraham. That's what you're saying. That's what you're implying with what your life is talking to. Scrooge doesn't just make amends with his life. Scrooge doesn't just, I'm going to do better now. I'm not bad anymore. I'm now good. He goes from being a dead person to a fully alive person. Zacchaeus goes from being a dead, a miserable, hated person to a fully live person. And the Christ child whom we celebrate and will perpetuate on Saturday did not come into the world so that good people could be bad people, or bad people could be good people. He came into the world so that we would go from being dead people to fully alive people. Amen? And yeah, you can clap. Sure, yeah. Amen. Yes, he did. That's why we are gathered today. We're gathered to celebrate that we can be a part of a better future. How do we do this? How do we make our Christmas future better? Well, we know we're not bound by our past. We're living in the present, and that we can impact the future. We look for Scrooges and Zacchaeuses that are in our midst, and we provide comfort and encouragement and look for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We look out for impossible situations. We look out for situations and choose to serve God regardless of what's going on in our lives. Choose to change your Christmas future by serving God. How do we change our Christmas future? Believe that people like Zacchaeus, that Scrooge, and all those that we think are beyond redemption, believe that no one is beyond redemption in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your redemptive plan for us. We thank you so much that we can be part of your redemptive plan. We praise you, Lord God, that as we gather, we are stirred up to know this together. We thank you, Lord God, for that through the music and through the sounds of our voices, that you get the praise. And we pray this Christmas, Lord God. We pray this Christmas future that come before us, especially this Saturday, Lord, that we can be a part of that redemptive plan. Show us how to do this, Lord, in our midst. Show us through our families. Show us through our current situation. This Sunday, this Saturday, this whole week, Lord. And may we be the kind of people that want a better Christmas future. We ask this all in the precious and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.